The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a nutritious smoothie of creamy, fresh yogurt, vanilla protein powder, and a mushy banana. For your mind, drink it all down. It's nummy. I want vanilla. I want vanilla. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Welcome to Hour 2. That's what I call it. It follows Hour 1, so hey, what are you going to do? Ken Fish, welcome to Hour 2. We're having a freewheeling Marx Brothers-type conversation concerning deliverance and healing, sanctification. You were just saying, and this is a big theological point, that salvation, that moment of conversion, to some extent, that's the beginning of everything.
That's right.
And some churches have this idea like, no, that's the goal. Once you do that, you're done. And I don't know what you're supposed to do at that point, then just spend the rest of your life evangelizing, because the only thing that matters is people's souls getting saved and conversion. That's not true, folks. That's not right. That's not biblical. But as a result of that bad theology, a lot of people don't pursue, you know, sanctification, healing, maturity, discipleship. They kind of act like, nah, that's not necessary. And, you know, I always say when people talk about bad theology, that's a nice word for lies from the pit of hell, right? We kind of act, oh, bad theology, that's a, you know, B minus. No. It's it's evil. It leads.
That's right.
It leads people not to get to where God wants them to go. It leads them to be stunted in their spiritual growth.
That's correct.
And in the modern evangelical church, we often don't talk about that kind of stuff. We act like, no, that's works righteousness. We're not climbing the Tower of Babel to heaven. We're done. We're good. It's like, well, wait a minute. These are two different things. So that's a big part of, I think, the misunderstanding that people have with regard to what you do. When you come into a church and you say, you know, we're going to pray for deliverance from demons, people say, what are you talking about? Once I was born again or converted, that's done. It's over. And the point is, no, that's not quite right. That's simply not true.
That's right. And going back to something you said a few moments ago, sometimes people wonder, well, what am I supposed to do in the aftermath of conversion? Do I just, you know, sit around practicing how to count angels on the head of a pin, or do I do something else? And the Bible actually answers that. Jesus told his apostles and perhaps some of the others that were maybe among the 72 just prior to his ascension in what we call the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations, teach them to observe or to put into practice all that I have commanded you. Well, what did he command them to do? He commanded them to do what he was doing. And so we have this verse out of 1 John that says, in this world we are to be like him. So what does that mean? Well, Jesus, among other things, he preached the good news of the inbreaking kingdom of heaven, and he healed the sick, and he raised the dead, and he cleansed lepers, and he cast out demons. So part of the normal Christian life, although for many it's not the life they live, but the biblical ideal of the normal Christian life is that we live out and carry out the same kind of mandate that Jesus did. So healing should be part of our normal. Deliverance should be part of our normal. We should be seeing an ongoing stream of God's activity around us through our lives because we are disciples, because we walk as he walked. because we live as he lived, because we say as he said. I'm fully aware that many Christians don't necessarily walk as he walked, don't say as he said. Sometimes the thing that comes out of Christians' mouths can be quite shocking. But this is the life of a disciple. We are conformed to the image of Christ. And with that, we ourselves should be getting freer and freer of the urges and passions of the flesh with its lusts and desires. Now, I'm specifically using biblical language there. And that's because I think anybody who's honest about it, who's a believer, knows what it is to feel urges. It may be you see a post on the internet and you just feel that rage rising up within you and you want a flame as you're, you know, typing the response. It isn't always sexual. It could be just those passions and desires and urges of rage or cravings for food or tobacco or
well, that's
it just
the whole
goes
point.
On and on.
Whatever it is, it
anything
could be
that binds you
anything.
Means you're not free,
right?
And the purpose of the Christian or God's intention in us is that we would be free of everything,
right.
except a willful obedience and submission to His Spirit, whereby nothing enslaves us, but we do voluntarily offer our will to His service.
Well, that's, I was just mentioning to Albin the other day that I had seen a preview of my friend Greg Laurie. They put together a film, the Irwin Brothers, talking about the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus Movement, and Lonnie Frisbee, whom you knew, is in that and whatever. But the reason I bring it up is that it shows Chuck Smith's church. It's a very orderly church, older people. And all these hippies come in. And it's a very similar thing. It's like you have these people who love order, and these hippies come in, and the people, there are many people who are there, they've got this orderly church, and they're thinking, you're messing it up, you're bringing in this kind of messy stuff. And Chuck Smith rightly is trying to say, well, this is what it is to be a Christian. We want to open our arms to those who are lost and confused. We don't want to affirm them in their lostness and confusion, but we want to be open, to barefoot, smelly hippies coming into our church, because spiritually that's us. That is we. And so it's kind of like this, that you've always got this tension between people who say, well, I want to go to the 10 o'clock service and, you know, this is how we dress and this is what we do and whatever. We don't want to get messy.
Right.
And I don't like people who are in love with mess, but at the same time, you have to acknowledge the reality of the mess to clean it up, to bring order. And so there are many churches they won't touch this stuff with a 10-foot pole because they just it doesn't fit their paradigm.
Yeah, that's right. So I've got a friend who lives in he's moved now, but he used to live in the Sydney, Australia area. And he got saved in the Jesus People movement, was a kind of late stage hippie. And when he got saved, he immediately led a dozen of his friends to the Lord, and he brought all of them with him to church shortly thereafter. So let's say he gets saved at, you know, whenever it is that he gets saved. And within a couple of weeks, he'd led about a dozen people to the Lord, and he brings them all to church with him right then. So he's sort of 2 weeks, 3 weeks into his Christian walk as he's bringing these other hippies, and they're showing up. They are smelly. They've got beards. They've got, you know, disheveled clothes. They're in flip-flops, and they go to a church where everybody's wearing a suit and tie and, you know, leather, patent leather type shoes. And so they walk up, and the ushers meet them at the door, and they said, well, what are you doing here? And they said, well, you know, we've met Jesus and we're coming to church. And they said, well, if you're going to come, you have to go home and change clothes, and then you can come back. Well, my friend went and did that because he was somehow a little more compliant. The other guys didn't. And so as he told me the story, to his knowledge, none of those others went on with the Lord because they were excluded from church because of the attire that they were wearing. He himself went on, later became a pastor. Today he's retired. But we have to be careful about setting up blockages to people who are coming into the kingdom, because we have our own sentiments about what a, you know, well-ordered church life might look like. And I'm reminded of the proverb that says, where you have the strength of the ox, the stall is not clean.
What?
where you have the strength of the ox.
The stall is not clean.
The stall is not clean. So there's going to be straw. There may be some droppings. There's, you know, there's maybe some flies. So if you want a clean stall, you better not have any oxen.
And if you want to make an omelet, you're going to have to break a few eggs.
That's it.
That's from the Book of Enoch. Okay.
No, it's not.
Well, we don't even know what we think of the Book of Enoch. Do we want to talk about that?
No.
It's not part of the canon, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, Ken, I want to tell people again how they can find you. Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S. O-R-B-I-S Ministries. Ken Fish. I think you can spell fish. And we'll be right back to continue the conversation with Ken Fish of Orbis Ministries. You can find me at ericmetaxas.com. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call them at 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT.
Hey there, I'm talking to Ken Fish. Ken, that's who you are. Since we're talking, let me ask you. You told me a story last night, which I thought was interesting. You travel around the world. You were in Costa Rica. Tell that story that you were sharing.
Yeah, so this was just before Christmas time at the end of 2022. I went down to Costa Rica and did a training event on the topic of deliverance. Took a team with me of about 20 people, and we had an amazing amount of ministry and deliverance that went on. Of course, to say that is one thing, but to, you know, zoom in and look at a particular story really puts a face to it, as it were. And so I was talking about this. I don't know whether to call her a girl or a woman. She was 16, so she's an adolescent woman. And she had come forward at one of our prayer times to receive ministry. And she was heavily demonized, and the more we prayed, the more obvious that became, because she was thrashing around on the floor, and you know, her back was arching, and she was foaming at the mouth.
Holy cow, excuse me. This is a 16-year-old girl, I will say, and you're telling me that in the midst of this ministry that's going on, you're seeing what you all call manifestations. In other
right.
words, the demonic is becoming obvious. It's not like we think she may have, let's pray. I mean, in the midst of the prayers and the Spirit of God is in the room, this stuff comes out and you're seeing this in front of your eyes. And this is, a month ago?
Yeah, about a month ago, right. And so anyway, we were praying with this young woman, and I couldn't figure out, why is this spirit not coming out? Because when a demon doesn't dislodge and yield to the authority of Christ in us, then there's always a reason for that. And it generally has to do with something that hasn't been confessed, or maybe it's some old wounding that hasn't been healed or something like that. So I'm trying to figure out what it is. And as I'm looking at her, I said, you know, I'm having this mental picture. Some would call it a vision, but I didn't explain all that to her. I'm just for the purposes of our listeners. I said, I'm having this picture in my mind, and I'm seeing Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and I'm thinking of the evil stepmother with an apple. And I said, by chance, are you involved in witchcraft? And she said, well, yeah, I have been involved in witchcraft. Oh, that's interesting. Tell us about that. And so she hadn't confessed this to us. She'd just come up for prayer. You know, I have a need. Something hurts. Fix my hurt. But she hadn't really disclosed everything. And many times this is true with people. They don't even know always what they should say. So anyway.
And of course, she's 16.
She's 16, right. And so her father, with whom she lives, he and her mother are split up. And mom's out of the home, and her father has a new live-in girlfriend, but they're not married. However, this new live-in girlfriend has assumed the role of what you might think of as a stepmother. And as it works out, the only person in her life who had ever shown her tangible kindness that she could relate to was actually the stepmother. And it turns out that this stepmother surrogate, again, not literally married to dad, so technically and legally not the stepmother, but filling the same familial niche, she is a practicing witch and engages in witchcraft.
So let's backtrack so everybody's tracking and is clear. So there's a 16-year-old, this is in Costa Rica in a church,
right,
who is manifesting demonic stuff.
Right.
And this is before she comes up for prayer?
As we began praying for her, okay, they came to the surface.
Okay, but so the point is she comes up and God speaks to you and gives you this image in your mind of Snow White and the witch and the apple, evil stuff. I mean, actually, it's kind of complicated because Snow White's the witch with the apple is not the stepmother, but there is a stepmother. But the point is that you get this picture in your head,
right?
And lo and behold, yes, God did tell you this, because this young woman then tells you her story,
right,
about how at home this woman living with her father is functioning as a stepmother, has been very kind to her, but is involved in witchcraft. I mean, it's kind of amazing stuff here.
And so this stepmother surrogate is what I'll call her, has been teaching her to cast spells. So I said to her, has this involved apples? And initially she said no, but then we took a lunch break because it had gone on long enough. You know, you kind of get tired. Sometimes it's good to take a break and come back. And after lunch, she got some additional prayer. And she said, you know, I was thinking about things at lunch. And she said, actually, yes, she has been teaching me to engage in witchcraft using apples.
Now, I've never even heard of that. That's like so crazy.
I was just going to say, in the world of witchcraft, there are all kinds of different things that people will use in the acts of casting spells and whatnot. And fruits of varying kinds are on the list of things that people use.
So usually, like, you know, you could kill a chicken, but if you're vegan, you'd say, no, we're just going to do our witchcraft with fruit today.
Maybe so.
I mean, honestly, that's so bizarre, but okay.
So she says, so as I thought about it, you're right. And she said, I'm not myself that fond of apples, but I have learned how to do witchcraft with apples from my surrogate stepmother. And that's actually why I told you no at the first, but it's actually correct. So what you got was right. So with her now confessing to having performed witchcraft using apples, now that that's confessed, the spirits came to the surface. We drove them out.
Now, wait. So this is so interesting to me, just what you're describing. So God gives you this image, and it's kind of complicated because it works on several levels, but then you find out it's not just related to this image from of witchcraft and the apple, but in fact, this young woman was doing witchcraft using apples for some reason. We don't need to get into that. But you're saying once she acknowledged this, once she confessed this, because there's this relationship between when you confess something the demonic power loses its legal right over you. In other words, when you, because what you were talking about before is that, you know, sometimes you you can pray and demons will flee, but other times they don't, and you rightly conclude that they have some legal right to stay, to be here.
That's right.
And so we need to deal with that. We need to get this person to confess or renounce something which makes it no longer the legal right of the demon to remain. I mean, it's amazing to me that there's this clear objective reality to what we would think of as invisible, but it's still objective reality.
That's
you're
correct.
Dealing with something, and then when she confesses this thing and says, yes, okay, now you can deal with it.
That's correct. Just to be clear, just one clarifying point before I finish the story. Sometimes it isn't merely confession. Sometimes people have gone through wounding, trauma, emotional, whatever. And so the demons are attached to that, and this is why we need inner healing, because there are times when people, once that inner wound has been healed, the demons will come free. But yeah, this matter of confessing before the Lord the things that we've done that are misdeeds, and witchcraft is one of those sins that is called out again and again in the New Testament. We tend to look at it kind of weird in modern Western society, but I will say it is a rising phenomenon in most Western societies. I don't care if it's Germany or France or, you know, Italy or United States or wherever. It is a rising phenomenon. So, all right, back to the story. So she acknowledges, yeah, I have been doing witchcraft with apples. That actually was right. She gets delivered of the evil spirits. But now that she's gotten free, she's in a very, I would say, precarious situation.
Wait a second. You spoke about that in the passive. You know, she gets delivered of evil spirit. In other words, you were able successfully to drive demonic spirits out of this person, and I'm sure that if we had a videotape,
there would be no ambiguity about what was
happening. That's a big deal, right? What you just said.
So
you saw these demons leaving her body. You know. Anybody who's seen anything like this, you realize this is kind of – it's amazing these are not small things. That's a big deal.
That's correct.
Okay, so once that has occurred, and of course that's been your goal, you want to get these things out. Okay, now she has to deal with her life. She's 16 years old.
That's right.
And she's living at home with her father and with this woman who has been really kind to her but who has led her into witchcraft.
That's right. And so I would say this girl is at risk, because what is she going to do? She logically and from a very human and understandable standpoint wants somebody to care for her and love her and nurture her. And yet the only person in her life who does that is this practicing witch. And so what is likely to happen? It's likely going to be the case that she goes home and goes right back into doing witchcraft with the erstwhile stepmother.
Okay, we're going to find out what happened when we come back. What to do? All
that talk of opportunity. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back.
Oh, hello. I'm talking to Ken Fish. Ken, I just want to be very clear. You're Ken Fish. I'm Eric Metaxas. This is my show. And we're talking about some crazy stuff. So you were just sharing about this young woman in Costa Rica. It was about a month ago. She's 16. She gets delivered. All this beautiful stuff. But now she has to go
home.
Home.
Right.
Which is really very messy. Because
right.
the woman who has shown her love, who's... her, you know, living with this woman's young woman's father, has drawn her into witchcraft. Not a good scene. Not a good place for her to return to, really. So what happens?
So I had two women that were helping me pray for this 16-year-old woman. Both of them are in their 50s, and they were very, you know, compassionate and caring towards this young woman. One of the two is a woman who lives in Los Angeles area and is a friend of mine. The other of whom lives in Costa Rica and has come to some of my meetings in the past. And I've done a fair amount of ministry with this Costa Rican woman in the past, and also at this event that we were holding that weekend. She, this Costa Rican woman, the second woman, she had never married, and by her own admission, it's because of her immoral lifestyle when she was younger. She kind of missed the window, and I think a lot of people don't realize that this kind of immoral living often means that all of the suitable marriage partners may not be available when you later in life would like to be married. So she's lived her whole life as a single woman. She would dearly love to be married even to this day, and like many women, one of her highest desired outcomes of life was that she would have children, but of course, being unmarried, she had not had them. Well, this young 16-year-old woman who's going to go home to a very at-risk environment, as this deliverance is concluding and we're kind of wrapping up the prayer time, she asks the local living Costa Rican woman in her 50s, you know, I'm concerned about what's going to happen to me when I go home. Would you consider becoming my mother? And now we understand this is a surrogate role, not a formal adoption, but what she needed was somebody to fill that niche who would care for her, and she had shown her so much care and compassion, holding her at times, weeping over her as these things were coming out of this 16-year-old. This woman who had always wanted to be married and always wanted a child is now having someone say, Would you consider becoming that role for me? And so, in a way, this isn't so much a physical healing, but it's more like a psychological, or maybe we should say a sociological healing, where now this young woman is going to have somebody who's healthy filling a mother role, not a witch, and the woman who's always wanted somebody to mother now has somebody who's willing to be mothered. And so the Lord, I would say, set up a divine appointment where these two meet each other. And it's been about a month, but I'm in touch with the woman from Costa Rica, the older one, and she has already embarked on that process. This young woman is coming over to her home. She's cooking for her. She's counseling her. She's slept over sometimes. It's become a very kind of normal, healthy. And just to be clear, since we started out talking about sexual brokenness. There's no sexual behavior going on here. This is just a very healthy surrogate mother, surrogate daughter type of relationship developing.
I think most people would have guessed that. But this is so beautiful. And so you talk about heartwarming. My goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway, what a wonderful story. You just shared something in the break, which is sounds crazy and dramatic. And I thought, why don't we go there? You said after this ministry time in Costa Rica, you went home to California.
Right. So it's Monday morning. The event is over. I catch a morning flight to Los Angeles, and I'm somewhere between San Jose and Los Angeles, airborne and northbound. And there was a handful of members of my team that were catching flights later in the day. And I don't remember exactly the number, but maybe around eight or so. And so they gathered in this room where we were gathering for, you know, daily prayer and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they decide, hey, you know, let's have a ministry time over each other. And in the middle of that ministry time, now again, I'm in the airplane. I'm not even present overseeing this. But there in the prayer room, the Spirit of God falls on them, and those of them that wore glasses take them off and no longer need them.
Okay, now that's crazy, and I struggle to believe this, even though I guess I do because you're my friend and you don't lie. But this is very dramatic what you just said. You and I both wear glasses. You're telling me your ministry team remains behind. Obviously, they're a little bit longer. They pray for each other, and God so powerfully touches their prayer time that those who wore glasses were healed of their
nearsightedness, farsightedness, astigmatism, whatever it was.
Okay, Ken, this is insane. So again, I don't believe you'd make this up, but I mean, that's so dramatic. I don't know how to respond. Did they go to their eye doctors? I mean, this is like, if they didn't, I want to kill these people because, like, this is so dramatic.
Right.
Did they go to their eye doctors? I mean, this needs to be documented.
Right, right.
Because, again, it's so dramatic that this needs to be corroborated because it's amazing.
You know, Eric, from time to time we have meetings where this happens. I wouldn't say it's that common, but I remember being in Sydney, Australia, speaking, because I mentioned it earlier in this recording. I remember being in Sydney some years ago. I did an evening meeting, and I distinctly remember that the Lord started moving, and I knew that people were being healed of nearsightedness and farsightedness. And I said, everybody, now this one is me, and I am leading the meeting,
yeah.
And it's a few years ago. But I said, if you have nearsightedness or farsightedness, I want you to take off your glasses and look around.
We're going to hit pause here because this is too much even for me to bear. We'll be right back.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
Welcome back. My goodness, talk about running the gamut from really dark sexual stuff to now the almost preposterous. And yet, I know you're not making this up. This is crazy stuff, Ken. We believe God can heal. We believe God can raise the dead. We know this. But when you hear about this, it's still challenging. So you're telling me about what happened in Costa Rica, but now you're backtracking to say that you experienced this some years ago in Sydney, yep. Australia. So tee that back up again, because this is crazy.
So I'm nearing the end of the sermon, and I gave a word to the room, and I said, if there are people here who use eyeglasses, nearsighted or farsighted, take them off and see if you can see. And so all over the room, you know, people are taking off their glasses and they're looking around. And I said, now check it carefully. And so, you know, people are sort of doing this, one eye, then the other. I said, look at something up close, maybe your Bible or, you know, whatever. You know, grab a book off the shelf if you want to do that. Look at something across the room and see how your vision is. And I said, if and only if your vision is clear and you can tell that you do not need your glasses, I want you to bring your glasses up here and lay them on the pulpit or on the stage.
Okay, now, so obviously God had spoken this to you.
That's correct.
You're not just winging it, but God had clearly spoken to you that this was something he was doing supernaturally in that room in Sydney.
That's exactly correct. And so all these people did what I told them to do, and then people started getting up, and they brought their glasses forward and laid them, again, whether on the pulpit or on the stage. And we prayed for some other things that evening, but I said, now, if you brought them up, if you want to collect them before you go home, you can do that, but just know that anything you leave behind, we're going to discard. Nobody came up and picked up their glasses. And when the building emptied out, the pastor and I picked up 50 sets of glasses or spectacles, you know, two lenses, so we say a pair of glasses, 50 sets of glasses, and we took them out and threw them in the dumpster. Now, I've seen this in my own meetings at times. It's not one of the kind of primary things that happens.
But you can understand skeptical people listening to this and saying, okay, here's my problem. God can do these miraculous things, but this is what he chooses to focus on. No pun intended. it's so, I mean, a lot of this stuff is like that, where it is, difficult to process. You say, okay, God can do anything. Why did he let my friend BJ Weber die of cancer recently? But he's healing people of astigmatism and short-sightedness and farsight. You know, like on some level, I think you have to be honest. On some level, this makes no sense. We're not sure what to say about it, right?
Well, I'll tell you what I can say about it, and that is that God cares about every detail of your life. He cares about your nearsightedness. He cares about your sexuality. He cares about your addictions. He cares if you don't have a woman who fills a mother role, and it turns out you're under the tutelage of a witch and you need a new mother. He cares about every single aspect of our lives. I think a lot of times people view God as somehow distant, harsh, cold, uncaring. But, you know, when Jesus came preaching, he said, repent, which means change the way you think, because the kingdom of heaven is drawn near to you. And what is it that we're changing the way we think about? Well, mainly about God himself. And understand that he's not actually against you, he's for you. And he is invading the world on your behalf to launch a rescue operation. And whatever the need you might have is, there's an answer for it in God. That's what
I
can say.
There's no question in my mind about any of that. It's just the specificity of the craziness of the idea that God shows up in a meeting you're doing and heals people needing their glasses.
Well, and note that yours truly is still wearing them.
That's what I was going to say.
So as I walked out that night, I'm like, well, what about me? But my eyes weren't touched in that meeting.
Yeah.
But 50 people left their glasses behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And 30 of them were really sorry they did. I think, part of this is that we have to be honest. There's a mystery here.
Absolutely.
God is God. He can heal people. He can do these things. But for some reason, he doesn't always. Clearly, you and I are wearing glasses, and I And I have, you know, I have prayed for people and nothing happens. And so there's a mystery. And I want us to acknowledge that. And let's not pretend we've got God figured out. We're all in a process trying to figure out, how can I pray better? What can I do to align myself with God's will to see him move in these ways? So it can be encouraging when you see results. But for some people, it's confusing. You think, well, I don't get, what about me? You know, right. What about me? I don't, why did I have to, you know, and again, glasses is almost like comedic because it's so, it's pretty anodyne in terms of, you know, problems, health problems.
Right.
We know so many people that have serious health problems and stuff, but you've seen it all. Again, no pun intended, Ken, but, I love exploring the you know, these strange niches, you know, these stories like that, just to see what is possible out there.
You know, one of the things that I've seen over and over again is that many times people are healed kind of the first time out of the gate. You know, we get a word or they come up for prayer or whatever, and God touches them. And by the way, this goes beyond healing and deliverance. It might be they get a prophetic word that's a life-changing word. Maybe it reveals the secrets of their heart, etc. Many times that happens first time out of the gate. But there are some where we need to pray again or even a third time. But what I have found is that if we persist, if we want, we could say wrestle with God in prayer, but if we persist in that, Jesus said, if you ask and keep asking, keep and seek, keeping, knock and keep knocking, the door will be open to you. And so many times, you mentioned your friend BJ. I knew BJ as well, prayed with him. We were both hopeful at one point that he was going to be healed. Sometimes we lose these fights too, partially because everybody's going to die sometime. BJ died of cancer. I think it's better to die healthy than of cancer.
We're going to go to a final break, and we have a final segment where we'll let Ken finish these and other sentences.
Underneath the same old moon.
Final segment with my friend Ken Fish. So Ken, you were talking about this again. There's this mystery that some people I've been with you when you've prayed for people that were really ill. And for whatever reason, they didn't get healed. They ended up dying, you know, what I would think of as prematurely. And so there is this great mystery at the heart of it all, that we know what we know. We know that God tells us to pray for healing and to believe him for healing. But we also know that sometimes miraculously it works, and other times it doesn't. And you know, that can be a challenge. And I think that's why a lot of people just kind of bat the whole thing away, because it's fatiguing. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why would God do this? And I want to be honest and say, I get that.
Yeah. I think we all get that. You can't,
I know it.
You can't do this kind of ministry and not struggle with that question. But, you know, back to the conversation about somebody like BJ. So many times there are these layers of things in people's lives, and especially when you're dealing with a fatal disease like cancer, or potentially fatal, it's almost like you're in a race against time, and we run out of time before we find this healing solution. But what I've seen is that, and I told you at dinner last night, I've also seen cases like this one young woman who came for prayer on and off for 5 years. And she had these open fissures in her body where she was leaking pus. And for 5 years, we'd prayed and we hadn't found the breakthrough, but I kept thinking, there's a solution here somewhere. There's a solution. And we kept meeting, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times a year for 5 years. And one day she came to New York. She lived in the D.C. area. I was speaking here.
But okay, wait. So you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and this did not
get
solved.
That's correct.
But you continued, and she continued to seek prayer, and you continued to pray, even though you had prayed, or, you know, whatever, 30, 40 times.
That's correct.
Okay.
And remember, Jesus said, ask, keep asking, keep seeking, knock, keep knocking. We don't tend to translate it that way, but that's the way it reads in Greek. And so she'd come to New York. She and I and her friend who had come with her gathered in a friend of mine's apartment, so the four of us are there. And in that moment, on that day, the word of the Lord came to me. I understood in a flash what needed to happen. I put my hand on her and prayed for her, and she jumped up off the couch, raised her hands in the air, and said, I've been healed. Now, she was raised in a church where they read the King James Bible, so she used very old-fashioned English. She said, I just felt virtue go through me. And I said, are you sure? And I said she had these fissures in her body. They were in her groin and in her armpits. She raised her hand, pulled down her arm, the sleeve of her shirt, and showed me her armpit. And it looked as though a welder had just laid down a bead of new welding. And that open fissure that had been probably nearly an inch wide and about 3 to 4 inches high looked like it had been welded shut and there was no more pus.
Okay, so she could feel the healing.
She felt it happen.
And then so you also knew, you shared with me, we don't have time now, but you shared with me that, you know, the 40th time you prayed for her, God kind of reveals something to you about how to pray or what to pray. You pray it. She feels tangible, clear healing. Something happened. She leaps up. She says this, whatever. And then she shows you. And of course, again, we're out of time here, but to me, I'm amazed by every part of that. I'm amazed by the fact that she continued to get prayer and prayer and prayer. She didn't say, well, I've been prayed for 25 times and nothing worked. I'm done with that. And why did God wait until then? We don't know. But what a beautiful ending. Ken, I'm sorry we're out of time. My friend, I love you. I'm grateful for you. Folks, go to Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S, Ministries. And that's that. Thank you.
Glad to be on the show, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.